as I was praying with this gospel this week, this idea of being bent out of shape kept running through my head. And one of the images, I was trying to think of different things that are often bent out of shape. And one of the images that came to mind, which you folks sitting in the front row over here probably will not understand, is the, remember how phone cords used to get bent out of shape, pulled out of shape? I was a child of the 80s, and so I remember vividly wanting a little bit of privacy on the phone, and therefore having to pull the phone receiver with its cord from the kitchen wall down the front hallway into the front hall closet and hiding there with the vacuum and my parents' winter coats. And then, of course, because there were three of us, three teenage girls in the house at the time, that phone cord was stretched like that almost all night, every night. And so it never really did regain its shape. So things like phone cords or the arms of your favorite sweater that get bunched up and get pulled out of shape are some of the things that come to mind. And I was even thinking about how when my father had his knee surgery a few years back, he'd had a debilitating football injury in high school and had walked around on these misshapen knees for over 40 years. So when he had both of his knees replaced a few years ago, it was interesting to me that he didn't need all that much physical therapy for his legs. What he needed the physical therapy for was his back, because the muscles of his back had been so misshapen over the years in order to compensate for the bad knees. There are all sorts of examples of how things get bent out of shape. And we use that term not just around physical things, but also when we're talking about our personalities, whether it's around anger or grief or frustration, we'll often use that phrase that someone was really bent out of shape. Those examples, and the woman in our gospel who was bent over for 18 years, encourage us to think not of just the one-time kinds of things that may shape us, but those long-term ways that we get bent out of shape. Not the things that we bounce back from, but rather the longer-term experiences that end up shaping us. Some of those things might be conforming to being the person that your family thinks you are or expects you to be. Sometimes we encounter being contorted and misshapen in the workplace when we end up behaving very differently than who we are naturally. And sometimes that's even against our ethics or very contrary to our personality or our priorities. Culturally, there's the experience that many African American people have of trying to pass. A way of being that's different than is most comfortable, but a way that they end up feeling that they need to embody in order to not only thrive, but sometimes even to survive. Sometimes being contorted and bent out of shape is even what is the dominant experience of folks who are going through divorce, when they can no longer be someone who they are not. To all of this, I lift up that the first verse that Barbara read so beautifully for us today, that the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Our translation, the New Revised Standard translation of the Bible, uses that word exploited. But just as faithful of a translation is grasped at. And so let's read that again. Jesus did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at. Grasping at divinity is a helpful metaphor for how we often bend ourselves out of shape with power or titles, grasping at those things, the shoulds, the dissatisfaction with self, how we live, what we do. All of these things often tie us up, bend us out of shape. Think of our society's focus on appearances, on plastic surgery and looking young and having a neat home and yard. Or even our culture's definition of success, that we need to have ever more power, ever more money, that the way to be a supermom, plug your ears, Maya, okay? The way to be a supermom is to have a meaningful career, organic birthday treats, a BMI of 19, and still have time to be able to read for fun. All of the ways that we contort ourselves shape our perspective. Just like the woman in our story, our culture bends us out of shape, and she was bent over, and she was bent for 18 years. For 18 years, her perspective was different because of her ailment, because of her malady. Yesterday afternoon at Helen Patterson's memorial service, her daughter Martha told the story of how after Helen had lost use of her legs, they had gone to buy her a laptop so that she'd still be able to interact with her friends. When they were at the store, Helen had some questions. She wasn't quite figuring out how to use the touchscreen and whatnot. And so Helen kept asking the clerk questions from her wheelchair, and the clerk kept talking over her and giving answers to Martha instead. When we are in a different and sometimes compromised perspective, it shapes not only how we see the world, but sadly, how the world interacts with us. There's a list that Beloit College has been putting out now for 18 years, for as long as this woman had been bent over. They call it their mindset list. And what it is, it was originally created to help the faculty understand who these freshmen were who were coming into their classes. And so two of the things that are fascinating to me about what 18-year-olds who are entering college right now, the world that has always been a part of their lives, eBay has always existed. NFL coaches have always been able to throw the red flag. And Putin has always been at the top of the Kremlin. All sorts of interesting things that shape the perspective of someone for 18 years. The woman in our gospel has had her perspective limited really for a whole lifetime. And what's interesting in our story is that Jesus notices her. She doesn't come to him. Most of our healing stories are people coming to Jesus and asking to be healed. But he notices her, this woman who would have been of little regard. He notices her, and I think that's important for our spirituality, to remember that little old us, the people who may have some really skewed perspectives because of any number of things, to remember that Jesus notices us can be a very important spirituality. So Jesus notices her, and he heals her on the Sabbath. Why not earlier? Or later, for that matter? She'd been like this for 18 years. Why in the world did he need to do it that day? It wasn't something that was so traumatic or something that was life-threatening. Why didn't he just wait another day? There are a few things going on there. He heals her on the Sabbath because every day of life matters. And one more day bent out of shape is one too many. And he heals her on the Sabbath to change her perspective, to give her that ability to stand tall. Isn't that another phrase that we use often in our spirituality and in our psychology, that I was able to stand tall again? He heals her in order to change her perspective and allow her to stand tall. But he also heals on the Sabbath to change the perspective of those around her. Both Jesus and the synagogue leader who chastises Jesus, both of them think that they're being faithful. And so we have to ask what the Sabbath is for. Rigidly making sure that you don't work, or joyously celebrating that you're a child of God? In Luke's gospel, the people who aren't healed are usually the ones that are supposed to be our example. The ones who aren't healed are the ones who truly suffer the ailments that Jesus heals. So when he heals a blind person, the people around the blind person are often the ones who continue to have spiritual blindness. When he heals a paralyzed person, the people around the paralyzed person often remain paralyzed and stuck in whatever it is that they're doing. And so too it is with our woman today. While Jesus heals her and allows her to stand tall again, the leader of the synagogue is still bent out of shape. And then we ask, how is it that the things that have reshaped you over the years now limited or skewed your perspective? In my life, an example of this was when I was working for the Catholic Church for a decade and was tasked constantly with teaching particularly around women's issues and LGBTQ issues. I was distorted, had to contort myself. And it's texts like our gospel, which were huge motivators to allow God's grace to reshape me. In today's gospel, Jesus is reaching out, offering to all of us a different perspective today, not in some far-off day, not when it's convenient, not when it's going to line up with your calendar, but he's offering you that new perspective today. Not when it won't make waves, not when it's socially acceptable, but today. Just as the example of the thief who was caught coming in the night reminded us a few weeks ago that we cannot put off living like a child of God, so too, Jesus' invitation to healing and freedom is for right now. A dear colleague of mine, Reverend Wanda Washington, who is on staff at Trinity UCC in Chicago, asks, why are people willing to put off things that will benefit them? She was talking about the religious leader in our story and about friends and family who stood in the way of our healing and growth. I visited the Martin Luther King Memorial when I was at a conference in Atlanta years ago. And one of the things that I was struck by there was the story of how many people in King's inner circle, even his father, were resistant to the work that he did and the methods that he used. Like the leader in our synagogue today, leader of the synagogue in today's reading, they said, can't you just do this in a way that won't upset the apple cart? Can't you just wait until tomorrow? But in that phrase that would end up being memorialized and used over and over again in the civil rights movement, justice deferred is justice denied. And so, friends, our challenge is to take up Jesus on this invitation to be reshaped, to be restored to a shape that is genuine to who we are, rather than having that skewed perspective. After all, if we're going to be shaped by anything, what better than by Jesus Christ himself, the liberator, the healer, God's model of love and grace? Our challenge is to have the mind in us that is in Jesus, recognizing those who are bent out of shape among us and reaching out to them with a healing hand. God is offering to reshape each one of us and our world, and is willing to do so whenever we are ready. When you are ready to be reshaped, God is already ready to help. No matter the day, no matter the night, even on the Sabbath. Thanks be to God.